Welcome to episode 4 of the Spin Axis podcast. I'm Eric Barzeski.
I'm Jason Nickel.
And I'm Tyson Deskins.
This episode of the Spin Axis is sponsored by the Fit for Golf app. I taught a lesson today and the guy said, "You know, I used to hit this club 165, but I guess I'm getting older." No, do not accept that. Do something about it, and you'll benefit not only your golf, but your life and general well-being. Sign up for the Fit for Golf app today, and whether you have access to a full gym or just have a few bands and weights at home, the app can create a custom workout that fits your schedule for a healthier life and golf game. Spin Axis listeners can save 20% with the code SPINAXIS at fitforgolf.app. Thank you to Fit for Golf for sponsoring this episode.
Welcome back, everybody. This week, we're going to shift to drills we hate. We absolutely hate. Eric, you're up first. Tell me which drill that you would want to toss overboard into the ocean and never see again.
We'll preface this again with there's always a time and a place, and this is generally speaking and doesn't apply to necessarily everyone. There are times when these drills that we will talk about today could be useful for somebody. That said, I almost never use the drill where you put a towel or a glove under your right armpit for a righty. I dislike that drill all the time. I see people just pinching their arm to their chest, staying connected, quote unquote, pulling their elbow and arm way around behind the shirt seam, way around behind them in an attempt to keep the glove in their armpit. They can't get any height on their hands or the club shaft or club head, and so they can't make a very long swing, so they'll overhinge their wrist, they'll overbend their elbow. It's a mess. I hate it.
So if you have a player, Eric, who I think notoriously the glove under the armpit drill is to try to create some connection. If you have a player whose trail arm is flying away from their body, maybe too far, how do you approach that if you don't like the glove underneath the arm?
I will either do something where maybe I put something in front of their hands so they take it back a little bit more with the chest. I'll talk about maybe their, for a righty again, kind of their left arm to left pec connection and maintaining that just a little bit longer and kind of the chest turning the hands back and carrying the hands back from there. Certainly, you're not lifting your arms off your body immediately. Occasionally, the few times I will use this drill will be keep the glove under your arm until you get to a third of the way back, and then it should almost feel like it's starting to fall out then. If they let it fall out right away, immediately to start the backswing, maybe they could do that occasionally. I don't have too many people that seem to do that, but you could keep it in until just after P2 and then let it fall out.
Do you also hate it for chipping?
I don't totally hate it for chipping. I generally don't use that much. Occasionally on chipping, I'll have them fold up their shirt and kind of tuck that into the armpit. That way it's not a whole glove. A whole glove is pretty easy to like keep in there, even if your arm is away from your body some.
How about, do you ever use it on the lead arm? Do you ever put the glove under the lead arm drill? As I see a lot of people do lose instant connection from the lead side.
It can be good there, but the problem is for me, the backswing, it might come out during the backswing, and then if it's out during the backswing, it's tough to stay in during the follow through. That's where it can work. I'm more likely to do that on chipping or short game shots on the front side than the trail side.
Do you have another example of a drill you would use if that lead arm is disconnecting in the backswing without using, is it still tucking the shirt? Would you do that on the lead arm as well?
I have a bunch of other drills that I might do with that, but since we're talking about the ones we hate, I'm just going to stick with hating on the glove under the armpit thing.
I love it.
Just stay in full hate mode for sure.
Tyson, you had the second one in our draft.
Yeah. So the first one on my list is the butt on the wall drill. I see a lot of guys, I think one of the most better player issues I see, honestly, right, is a little bit of early extension. And I think notoriously we haven't had a lot of great drills to help fix early extension before some of the force played and AP stuff came out. And the butt on the wall drill was definitely the most popular one. What I see from that is a lot of people will just sort of flex their hips to push their butt back and not really do anything from the ground with their feet. And then they lose all control of where that club is in space, but they've kept their butt on the wall.
Yeah, or they'll just lean on the wall.
They'll just lean on the wall. You know, and then as soon as you take the wall away, there's nothing to lean against, and they just go right back to pushing the pelvis out towards a target. So it's one of those that, again, sometimes it's maybe effective for a certain player who's not just going to lean on it, who actually is going to push from the ground to shove the pelvis back versus just try to squat, lean, whatever you want to do to get your butt there. I still feel we don't have a lot of great drills to help players with early extension. I would love for us as a group to be able to continue to find new and innovative ways for players, because it's such a hard and difficult thing for players to control the pelvis.
It is. I think one of the other ways you can do that is have them hold a club behind their back or something like that, and then use an elastic band and have them stretch the elastic band so they're kind of punching through that wall.
Absolutely. Dr. Scott Lynn, when I worked with him for the first time, was one of the first things that he had me do is I had a little bit of early extension, and it's something I still will feel at times. I've never been a great or big fan of drills where we're not swinging a club. Like, a lot of players might be able to do the movement without the club. And I think there's, again, time and a place for players to feel those moves. But if I can't replicate that when I got a golf club in my hand and I'm trying to hit that golf ball, then that drill didn't really do much for me.
Yeah, I would say that drill in itself I dislike very much, because for one, it's maybe a functional pattern that the golfer needs. And if you go, hey, let's just get rid of early extension, you know, push your butt on this wall, and you don't tackle why they're early extending, that, you know, you, as a coach, you're just like, okay, I'm doing things backwards here. And then, you know, go the other way a little bit. Sometimes you need to work on that pattern alone. So I do like drills where you don't have a club, but then, like you said, you need to be able to take the drill and move it to the next thing.
Yeah. A friend of mine says you early extend because you have to in order to hit the golf ball, given everything else you did before. And that's often true. Jason, you had draft pick number 3.
Yeah, so I've got the Punisher drill, which I'm sure everyone's seen on YouTube at some point or on social media, is where you take an alignment stick and you run it up the lead side of your club out your lead side of your body. And your goal is to make a swing and not bang the alignment stick into your body in your fall through. That is probably the most useless drill I've ever seen. And I honestly could go, there's no reason that anybody should ever use that drill in anything. Some of these, like we talked about earlier, might be, oh, maybe for this one person, this might work out. But this drill literally should just be deleted off the internet.
So if you have a guy that can't stop flipping on 5-yard chip shots, don't do that drill?
No, I'd never do that drill.
Okay.
Because all they're going to end up doing is just pushing the handle out, and then they're going to end up opening up the face anyways, which is probably the reason that they're flipping to begin with. So why are you doing that? What, just fix it earlier. And there's so many better drills than that. It drives me crazy.
Hey, I'm just playing devil's advocate.
What if you have a student that you're not really fond of and you want them to literally punish themselves for a little bit?
Well, I mean, as a Canadian, you're not allowed to really hate anybody. So that's not going to work.
That's not true. You guys hate every other hockey team because we keep winning Stanley Cups, and you don't.
Well, that's only because you have like 75% of Canadian players on your teams.
So there's never a time you would ever use that drill.
No, that is never the drill, let alone like the last resort that you should be using. And if you're using it, don't get me wrong, maybe you just don't know another drill, but find another drill. Like, there's so many more out there. There's a gazillion of them. Just stop doing that one.
One last little bit. What about just sticking like a T or something small in so that the person is a little bit more aware of where the handle is pointing? Like even putting, you know, some people flip and the putter, the T would be pointing behind them instead of like at their belly button or something like that.
Yeah, I have no issue with that one, especially in putting, for instance, or even, you know, chipping, depending on the chip shot you're trying to hit, but running it lengthwise so that it makes you shove the handle is terrible.
Okay.
I think you had the next one as well, Jason.
Okay, so the next one is definitely one that I'm sure everyone's seen out at the range, where Mr. Johnson's out there trying to stop slicing the driver. And all he does is take his driver head cover and lays it to the right side as a right-handed outside the ball. The only issue with that is that that's probably not going to stop the over-the-top. Over the top for most golfers is caused because they can't control the club face. And usually, now again, not always, but usually if all you do is put that object in the way where he can't pull over left, he's probably just going to start towing that driver. And now he's got an open face toe shot that's going to duck dive off to the left, or maybe just even more open up the club face, because if you strike it too far to the toe, it's just going to open the club face, and now he's going to hit, you know, an even further left path open face, you know, drive or iron or whatever he's working on. You got to start with the club face first and then work into the path for that issue. So I'm not a big fan of that drill at all.
Could this be classified as one of those concept drills where you're trying to give a player the concept, but if you don't fix the technical reason behind why they're doing what they're doing, they can have the best concept that they want. They're not going to achieve the outcome.
100%, for sure. And there's times where I have done not for driver. You know, for instance, if someone is striking it massively out of the, you know, the heel, it's like, okay, I want you to put this driver head cover right beside the ball, and your goal is to miss the driver head, and that's going to move that strike out and towards the toe. Well, that's fine. That's a completely different animal. For yours, yeah, I mean, you got to know about like the concepts of, okay, we're trying to change swing direction, club path, but if they're just grinding at it because their face is 10 degrees open coming down, well, that they have to go left. Like their brain is telling them that, okay, I need to get the ball down this line. Well, how's the only way that I can functionally do that at full speed is going to be pulling it left to try and, you know, slam the face across the ball.
To play devil's advocate, would you ever put the head cover or something to the inside?
Yeah, I've done the inside. The reason I don't mind the inside as much is that gets, again, you still obviously got to go with club face is king. But then, especially with driver, you're going to see them not swing left and down on it. You're at least going to have them try and miss it and also swing a little bit up into it.
So you took it as inside on the follow through side after the ball?
Correct. Yeah.
I was thinking on the inside behind the ball, because some of my better players swing 9 degrees out by right side, tilting and stuff too much. And they actually almost need the feeling of
over the top,
the club head and hands working out a little bit more early in the downswing so they can miss the head cover to the outside. And since they're better players, they do have a little bit more awareness and control over those kinds of things.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that for sure. I mean, in the end, as we talked about at the beginning, as long as the drill matches the player, that's what we're looking for.
Has there ever been a time, Jason, where you did start with path versus face? Does that ever happen for you?
I have, yeah, for sure. I mean, it's always trying to find out what's going to move the needle first. And for some golfers, it is path. Often, if someone's massively swinging, you know, out to in, and I can go, hey, are you okay? You know, really steep, right? Are you okay disconnecting from hitting a good golf shot? And you'll get students that go, yeah, I have no problem with that. And I go, perfect. All right. As a right-handed, I want you to blast every ball for the next 20 balls into the right trees over there. And they go, what? What? What are you talking about? Like, yeah, you just trust me. And all of a sudden, everything starts clicking. Sequencing starts getting better. And you're like, all right, perfect. That's a good path. What does that feel like? And they go, wow, that feels crazy. I'm like, perfect. Keep that feel. Now all we need to do is close the face to that feel. And voila, you start hitting some nice draws.
And if they don't do that, you whack them in the ribs with an alignment stick.
Yeah, exactly. Get them to do the Punisher.
Right. Tyson, you had number 5.
Yeah. So on my list, this drill that I hate, if you didn't listen to the previous episode, Eric mentioned that he loved random ladder drills for distance control and putting. I hate putting gate drills for this reason and this reason only, that I don't think it's a high value of time for players. Once again, they're not going to be on the putting green very much anyways. Let's work on something that's actually going to bear fruit when we're out on the golf course, which is speed control. And I don't ever see people have a 8-degree closed putter face when I have them in my studio, but I will see them miss a putt 15 feet long or 10 feet short.
I haven't been in your studio yet.
This feels like a bit of a cop-out, so we're going to have to convene the council. I'm surprised the Canadian didn't go this route, but you like it because it's not the best use of their time, not because it's a bad drill.
Yeah, I think, once again, I will say this. I just don't see very many people who have terrible face control with a putter that's moving 3 miles an hour, 4 miles an hour. Maybe they'll pull it a little left. Maybe they'll push it a little right. I would absolutely say better players are going to work on their face control. If I'm working with a 15 handicapper and I aim them at a hole, I don't see them miss 10 feet left or 10 feet right. They might miss a couple of feet left and a couple of feet right. Maybe they misread it. Maybe they did misalign the face, but their speed control is horrible. So why would that player sit on a putting green and work on a gate drill?
Okay.
What if you're missing your four footers?
Okay, if we're missing four footers, then we've got other issues more than likely. Yes, we can roll some balls down a ruler. Hey, can we get this thing rolling end over end, right? I still don't think it's going to be this terrible misalignment of the face. It's probably just poor technique and poor, again, hate to say this, but poor concept behind what I need to do for that four footer. That's a different putt than a 20 footer.
So then we've got Eric coming up in last on number six of drills we hate.
Yeah, I've done this. I still do it with people, but it takes a lot of explanation. So this one, the caveat to this is people generally trying to do it on their own. I hate stepping drills if you don't do them right. Let's say, for example, your feet are together and you're trying to shift weight to the trail side just slightly and then back to the lead side. So that's the complicated one. That's the double stepping drill. So if you picture someone standing there with their feet together and they're going to step to their right a little bit to start the backswing, what do they do? What they should do is push a little bit with their left foot to their right side, shift weight that way. What do they do when they're doing the stepping drill? They lean to their left so they can lift their right foot up in the air, and then they stick their toe out like they're testing the temperature of the pool, and then they put their foot down, and then they kind of move over there later. Then they lift, they unweight their left foot, put the toe in the water, and swing through. Generally speaking, they're doing the opposite of almost what they should be doing. It kind of looks right, but it doesn't feel good at all, and it's not really, the forces are not going in the right places at the right time.
Yeah, it's
how many people, Eric, do it right the first attempt?
-4%.
That's a good percentage.
Never happens.
It almost never happens. If you have a good player, and certainly I try to coach them through doing it the right way. I will say you need to like pick up your foot quickly, almost like you're going to fall. I generally don't like the wobble boards. I'm not going to name specific ones, but you know what I mean, the pressure shift boards, because that wobble takes time too, and it feels very uneven, and good players don't even like hitting on those because they're literally dunk, dunk, like clunking the board down while they're in the fast part of their downswing and stuff. It just feels unstable. It feels bizarre. It follows the actual pressure shift because it takes time for that thing to tilt and tip and clunk down. I don't like those boards a ton either. They can be used. They can be effective. I have some. I use them occasionally. I don't love them for sure. And I generally, if you're doing it on your own, without an instructor supervising and giving you the caveats and checking to make sure you're doing it right, generally hate them.
I'm going to have to throw my hat in this one. I actually like them. I find that if you can get a player to really feel, and it's obviously a drill, right? It needs to be exaggerated. I also like them because, especially for irons, it gets people to really cover the golf ball because it makes them go down on top of that golf ball. Now, driver, obviously, if you shift it, I don't find many players that can push hard enough to get back where you want to be with the driver. So I'm not a huge fan of hitting drivers on it. I'd say that's definitely, you got to be really good at moving your pressures to get, you know, the board working properly with driver. But if you can, there's a huge benefit to them. I also really like them for little short game shots too, as well. Getting people to feel, especially people, you know, the hang back, like short game people, and it's like you get them on the board and you can literally see their eyes just go like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm on this side of the board as I'm striking this ball, like, or fatting it.
My hate is almost entirely a full swing thing.
And I think that the hate is it's hard for most people to actually accomplish what we're trying to get them to accomplish in the drill. So again, guys, thanks again for listening. That's going to do it for this episode. Please do us a favor and subscribe to this podcast and share it with all of your friends and on all of your social medias.
You'll find us at all social medias at The Spin Axis, and we're online at thespinaxis.com.
And we'd like to hear from you. What drills do you love? What drills do you hate? What did we get wrong? What did we get right? What things that we said do you hate or love? We'd love to hear from you. Thanks again for listening.